Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for your presence in this place today, Lord. Father, I just pray, Lord God, as we go into this season of prayer and outreach, Lord God, I pray that your sons and daughters, Lord God, that they would be strengthened, Lord God, in this privilege, Lord God, called prayer. And Lord God, I pray that their prayer life will go to a whole new level, Lord. I pray that there would be much fruit, Lord God, much testimonies, Lord, of answered prayer, Lord God. I pray that there would be breakthrough, Lord God, in regards to revelation and understanding of prayer, Lord. I pray that it would go deeper. I pray that you would place a hunger in the hearts of your children for prayer, Lord God. Those who have come to a place where prayer is just a mundane practice, Lord, let there be a stirring of a fresh new fire, Lord God. Those who are just going through the protocol of getting up and seeking your face or praying before bed, but there's no passion, Lord God, relight that passion once again. Let it be like when they first fell in love with you, Lord God, and that hunger was ripe, Lord, and they just wanted to get before you, Lord God. Relight those fires, Lord. I hand this service to you, Holy Spirit. I ask that you will move in this place. If there's anything not of you, I bind it in the name of Jesus. And I just pray that you would release your word and your revelation today, Lord God. To you be the honor and glory in Jesus' precious name. And everybody say, amen. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, Archie. Big time on the keys. You know what I'm saying? Praise God. Okay, be seated. We're going into a season of prayer and outreach. And it's an exciting season. I'm looking forward to seeing row by row in this sanctuary new faces. That's what I want to see. I want to see new faces, row by row, new faces. Also, as well, I want to see testimonies rising up from the left and the right, from everybody who is here, who is already saved, already in the kingdom of the King, the Most High, that there will be more testimonies, more hunger to come and share the good news of what God has done. And ultimately, I just pray that everybody would be better equipped to experience that life that God has called them to live. Amen. So if you got your Bibles with you, we're going to be running through a number of scriptures. And my hope today is that there's a nice foundation set in regards to prayer, because over the next few weeks, we're going to be really looking at prayer over the next few services. So we're going to lay a foundation today. If you could please turn to Proverbs 19, and I'm going to read, start with verse 21. It says, there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. As I was preparing this sermon in regards to prayer, it became very evident to me that I need to really lay a foundation of God's original intent for prayer, original intent for relationship, because I feel like prayer is something that over the years it's been taken a little bit out of context, and people get to a place where they want to treat God as like an ATM machine or a cash machine. You know, you just type in a few numbers, you do a few sequences, and then things come out of it. You just go to prayer with that mindset. And I just feel like today, when we look at a few scriptures, that we can make a few adjustments, and then, you know, praise God, there can be more testimonies in the place in regards to prayer. So, original intent. Let's turn our Bibles to Genesis 1, verse 26. Something that I've been preaching on a lot lately, but I need to drill this one home until everybody fully catches it. So, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So when God first created man, he created man and gave them dominion. And this word dominion, it's a Hebrew word, rada, and it basically means to reign and to rule over. So one of the ways of thinking about it is that God gave management rights to mankind. So he created the earth, created the heavens and the earth, and then he created man, and then he gave man management rights. So at that time when God did that, God wasn't in the management business anymore of the earth. He gave the management rights to us. So it was handed over at that point. That's a key thing to know. It's a key thing to keep in mind, because people ask all the time, why is there certain things taking place in the earth? Why is there this happening? Why is there that happening? Why doesn't God just intervene? Why doesn't God just do this? And why doesn't God just do that? But generally, people ask these questions because they don't understand God's original intent and how he set this thing up. You see, as we know, God is spirit. So God is in the unseen realm. And when God made man, he placed the spirit of man inside a body. And that man that was on the earth now had dominion over the earth. And God's original plan was that as the unseen God, that he would speak to the unseen man, which lives inside of you, and then you would action his will. And you would have the dominion and the rights to do that because he gave it to you. In Genesis 1:28, it says, then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And this word subdue basically just supports the whole idea of management. We know that it's not talking about destroying or pulling anything down, because this subduing, this job of subduing was given to man before the fall. So the idea is that man would manage, and also to be fruitful and multiply. People just sometimes think it's about having children, but it's not. It's talking about being creative. It's talking about taking those ideas that God gives you and seeing it flourish and come to pass. So ultimately, you was called to manage, you was called to have dominion, you was called to reign, you was called to rule, you was called to be a creator on earth, you was called to bring about change on this planet. That's what mankind was called for. And God was just putting his ideas, his mind into the human being. That's what his plan was. But as we know, the fall took place, and that management, that rulership was then handed over to Satan. And we see in the Gospels when Jesus was tempted that, you know, the devil took him to a high place, showed him the kingdoms of the earth, and basically blatantly said that these were handed to me. He said it to Jesus. These were handed to me, and I give them to whoever I want. Whoever bows down to me, I'll let them reign, basically. And the Lord said, listen, I bow down to nobody but God. So then we see that Jesus came in the body of a human being. This is a key thing that Jesus had to do. Why do we call Jesus, Jesus Christ? Because the body of Jesus was human, but the spirit in Jesus was God. Jesus was the human, Christ was the God. That's why we have Jesus Christ. He needed to take on the body because of the work that he had to do. Because the dominion was given to man, and he needed to have legal rights on the earth. He needed a body to have those legal rights. God created the woman in such a way that he made provisions for him putting on a human body later on in time. So scientists have now proven that the blood of the mother does not pass to the child whilst the child's in the womb. This is a significant thing because God had to be able to take on the flesh of a human being without taking on the sin gene, which is found in the blood. So God was able to become a part of his creation and pay the price for the creation without taking on the sin of the creation. So when he went to the cross and he died, Jesus was on the cross, but Christ came out of his body. Christ was the one who went into the grave and took the power from Satan. And death could not hold him, as we just sung a moment ago, because he had no sin. He was sinless. So then when he rose again with all authority and all power. And also as well, he had unlocked something for us because he had paid that price in the body. So he had redeemed the original relationship that he intended for us to have in the first place. Everybody catching this? This is a key thing to know. So when he redeemed it, he came before the disciples. He said, all authority has been given unto me. And then he said, therefore go. He was basically saying, look, listen. Now it's lights, cameras, action. It's on now. Lights, cameras, action. Nothing can hold you back. We've got all authority. That means that there was a kingdom that was at work a moment ago that had you under bondage. You see, when we see the picture of Israel when they was in bondage, in slavery, that is a picture of humanity underneath the bondage of Satan's dominion. And then Moses came in. When he came in as a picture of Christ. I'm delivering you. I'm taking you out from underneath that bondage. And that's what happened. When Jesus came, he said, repent. Repent, the kingdom of God is here. That's the translation, it says at hand. But the correct translation is, it's here. And basically what he was saying is he was saying, look, you was under a dominion, but there's a new kingdom that has now come to bring enforcement. This is the stronger kingdom. This is the greater kingdom. And he paid the price on the cross so that you could receive that kingdom. So when you see somebody who is demon possessed, for example, there is a kingdom that is at work that is allowing that to take place. But this is the reason why, as a kingdom child, as a child of God, you can tell that demon to come out. Because there is an authority now that you stand under, which allows you to do that. That's why when somebody has sickness in the body, it's operating from a kingdom that is not the supreme kingdom. It's illegal now because there's a price that's been paid. That's why you have the authority to say, be healed in the name of Jesus. You see, that's why when you see in the Old Testament, you didn't see people doing that. You didn't see people walking around saying, be healed. You didn't see people walking around casting out demons. But in the New Testament, when Jesus came on the scene, it was happening. Then he was empowering those around him and sending them out. Then he started to go out in great numbers. Why? Because the kingdom of God is now here. See, the kingdom of God is a paradox because the kingdom of God is here and it's to come. Why is this relevant? The reason why I'm sharing this is because I want you to understand that God had an original idea of what it is that he wanted to do on this earth. Spending a little bit of time today just tweaking the mind so you can get some self out of the mind. There has to be some self out of your mind, but when you come to understand how the kingdom of God works, then it becomes easier. So you got to understand that when God made human beings, he had an idea in his mind before he even spoke it into existence. God saw the beginning of time. He saw the end of time in his mind's eye. He fashioned it to his will. Everything was how he wanted it to be. When it was all in place, he then breathed the breath into Adam. That was before he saw you, before he even breathed in Adam. He had already fashioned your destiny before he breathed the first breath into Adam. He had already placed certain giftings and skill sets within you before he breathed the first breath into Adam. He actually did that actually before he even created the heavens and the earth. Never mind Adam. So I want to start by telling you that you're not a mistake. Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. But if before you were born, I sanctified you." How does that even happen? Only God can do that. We're not going to get onto that today because it's a bit of a different subject. But you know that God, there's no difference between what he sees in his mind and what is here. When he sees it, he says it, believes it, it's done. So it's all one process. Because that's what God faith is. God faith means I see it, I believe it, and it's there, it will manifest. There isn't no maybe or shadow of a doubt with God. So when you hear God speaking like this, you're actually hearing a God-type faith. This is the God-type faith. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. And this word new, it's a Hebrew word, yada. And it means literally, he made an observation. He had made pre-instructions and he had designated a calling on your life. So in God's mind's eye, he saw you, he observed you, he had instructed your life. He had made provision for your life before he even started to create you, like fashion you in the womb of your mom. You are not a mistake. There's things that operate inside of you, certain giftings, certain ways about you that are there because of the purpose that you've been called to. Every single person has been called to have a certain level of individualness, if that's even a word. I have to ask the teachers in the room. Individualness. I'm using it. Individuality. Correction. Dictionary sponsored by Apple says individuality. But yet every single person has been created different. You're not supposed to be on this earth looking at other people saying, you know what? I want to be like you. I want to be like you. I want to be like that. That's why media and TV is so messed up, because it's got people trying to fit into a certain hole or a square or a triangle. You got people trying to fit into triangles and the squares. You got squares trying to get into holes. You got holes trying to get... Come on now. It's messed up. And people are trying to fit into these things. Too many people are looking on media, looking on social media, trying to find who they are, trying to recreate themselves. People trying to create themselves. Looking at someone else and saying, you know what, that kind of a little bit similar to me. I think I can take that swagger. You got swagger jackets. People swagger jacking these days. You know, the interesting thing is that in terms of being great, in terms of becoming all that God's called you to be, because he's called every single person for greatness. Every single person is called for greatness. I believe, yeah, there's not one Christian who's called to an average life. Christians are not called to average lives. I don't believe that you can be filled with the Spirit of Christ that resurrects the dead and then live average. Like, that's not, doesn't even make sense. Jesus was rolling around just like, let's get onto that in a minute. But like, we wasn't called for average living. But you see, the self is one of our greatest enemies. The self is one of our greatest enemies. In Matthew 10, 38 to 39, Jesus said, "And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds a life will lose it. He who loses his life will make, for my sake, sorry, will find it." This statement is a very strong statement because it gets straight to the point. It's talking about bearing the cross. We know what the cross was a symbol of. The cross was a symbol of death. That's literally it. The cross was a symbol of death. So really and truly, it's talking about a certain level of commitment. Are you committed enough and willing to die for this commitment? What type of death are we talking about? We're talking about the death of self. Are you willing to die? That's what Jesus was saying. You see, ourselves is one of our biggest enemies. This is where the wrestle takes place. Our will or his will. There was a time when they were discussing, you know, the cost of following Jesus. And he made this, Peter made the statement. It was in Luke 18, 28 to 30. It said, "Then Peter said, 'See, we have left all and followed you.' And then he said to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brother or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come, eternal life.'" I love that scripture. Number one, because you got cocky Peter as usual. You know what I mean? "We have left all." You know what I mean? Peter was always on fire though. "We've left all. We left it all behind for you, Messiah." And Jesus just responded like, "Listen, there's no one who has left everything behind. There's not one person who has done it to date and has not received more in this life. And then eternal life." This is why I say that Christians are not called for standard living. Christians wasn't called just for standard living. You know, there's too many Christians who are actually living below the benchmark of Christianity. Below the benchmark. Just waiting on Jesus. Just praying for Jesus to come back. When we die, we'll go to heaven. It will all be easy then. Like, you know, there's Christians who hit that mark where they just come to a place where they give up. They've got that wrong understanding of Christianity. That's not what we're called to. You see, the biggest wrestle that we have in our life is wrestling our mindsets. Someone felt that. Our attitudes, and ultimately our actions. Our mindsets, our attitudes, and ultimately our actions. Unfortunately, we've become a group of people who are ruled more by our feelings. Our feelings. So really and truly, you know that you've started the new job and there's going to be a new commitment and you know what it's going to take to get there on time. And now there's 2 weeks, 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks have passed and you still have not got up to pray. And the reason why you've not got up to pray is because you feel tired. Feelings. Feelings are ruling what it is that you know you should be doing. You know that there's a certain way that you're supposed to conduct yourself, but there's an anger that you have in your heart for something, and this anger is now ruling the way you act. You feel angry. Insecurities. You know God's spoken to you about a certain thing, but for some reason you won't step out because you feel insecure. And then you've got them people who just feel too lazy. Just can't be bothered. They don't want to do it. They don't want to do what God has called them to do because they're simply too lazy. It's easier to watch somebody else do it. That's why so many people love to watch TV. Watch TV and watch all these so-called superstars because it's easier to gaze into a life of success than to get up and get it yourself. It's easier to watch somebody living that life and walking with that status that innately you know you was called for. But it's easier for you to watch it than it is for you to set your alarm and get yourself up that extra hour earlier. Come on. And seek the face of God to get the guidance for your week and to pray and press through for your breakthrough. But that snooze button, you know that snooze button is like the enemy. Whoever created that snooze button, I think they was working with the enemy. Allies. But they be hitting that snooze button now. Snoozing. Snoozing. If you're like me, you might even fool yourself a little bit. I like to set like hours in advance so that I can hit those hours. I got like I got like hours, I say for like 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. Then when the 5 o'clock alarm goes up, I look at the schedule quickly for the day and I say, can I afford another hour? If I can afford another hour, I get to the six and I get up. But when I get to the seven, I've got to be up. But it depends what's going on in the day. See, I'm getting lazy. I got to be up at five. That's when I should be up. As soon as that alarm goes up, I should be up. But I'm being weak, man. Pray for your gang leader, yo. Pray for me. But we weren't supposed to be ruled by our feelings. I'm going to backtrack a little bit. I want to mention this because I think that's a key thing. Going back to Genesis, study the book of Genesis. Genesis 2, 16 to 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day you shall surely die. What happens to a tree when it's uprooted from the soil? It's cut off from the source, and eventually it's going to die. Even if you was to uproot a tree and throw it onto the concrete, it would appear living. It wouldn't be shriveled up and literally dead before your eyes. It would appear living, but actually it's dead. It cannot maintain in that environment. It needs to be plugged into the source. That was what God was saying. God was saying, look, listen, the outcome of disobeying me is that you will be detached from your source, which is me. Therefore, it's dead. I'm not going to, like, kill you. You're going to kill yourself, basically. You see, the thing is they had ate off the fruit of knowledge. And the interesting point that's made in Genesis 3:22, it says, then the Lord God said, behold, man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. So God removed the tree of life from the garden. You see, because there was two things that man was supposed to receive from God alone. Number one, it was life. His life was in God, though, not separate from God, in God. That's why God removed the tree, because he said, look, you can't have life separate from me. Life has to be in me, so I'm removing that tree, or else you'll have life within yourself. And another thing was the knowledge of good and evil. Now, man had the faculty to weigh up what they want to do. Do I want to obey, or do I not want to obey? I've heard what God's saying, but I'm going to weigh this thing up. Before that happened, it would have just been a smooth transaction of obedience. When God thinks it, it communicates to the human and he does it. No in-between point. Satan was the one who got in between that and started asking questions. So they started questioning the process. So now you had a situation where the humans were separated from the mind of God. Now they had their own mind. And God said, you know what? I cannot allow you to eat that tree of life, because then you will have life in yourself with your own mind. And you are not in the position or qualified enough to play God. The point that I'm getting to is when you got saved and you received the restoration and you received Christ, you got plugged back into the soil. You received life. Life in God. But in order for this thing to really work, you need to now be plugged into his mind. You need to be plugged into the mind of Christ. But as I said, self is one of our biggest enemies. You know, there's some people who, they don't feel like they're successful, and therefore they don't strive to be successful. They don't see themselves like that. Funny thing is the Bible talks of the success and the prosperity of God's children all throughout the Bible. It says God speaks great things of everybody in this room. But I guarantee you that there's so many people in this room that don't believe what God says because they don't feel it. They don't feel it. Well, I don't feel great. Well, you don't have to feel great. You are great. Because you don't feel great, you're not thinking great, and therefore you don't act great. The reason why I'm mentioning all this stuff about the willpower, because you're probably thinking, is this not supposed to be about prayer today? But praying God's will is the foundation of successful prayer. Praying the will of God is the foundation of successful prayer. If you don't grasp that praying the will of God is the foundation of successful prayer, you will have a disappointing prayer life. Your prayer life will be very disappointing. There's so many people who are praying, putting in hours. So many people who were like, yo, man, it's time to add some fasting to this prayer. But there's got lists of disappointment because their prayer life is not in line with the will and the mind of God. You see, the disciples, they was observing Jesus and they was watching how Jesus was operating, because Jesus was just going through the town, casting out demons. Going through the town, healing this person. Going through the town, creating miraculous increase of finance. Feeding the 5,000. Jesus was just making moves. And the disciples were watching. They was like, you know what? Look how Jesus is operating. We need to see how he's doing this. And then they clocked it. He said, you know what? There's something about that prayer life. There's something about that prayer life that Jesus is doing, because he'd be coming out smiling in the morning when we're waking up tired and wiping our eyes. He's perky. Jesus is moving. He's walking on water when there's no water. He's got it on lock. Jesus, teach us to pray. That's why they got straight to it. Disciples got smart. They didn't say, Jesus, teach us to heal. Jesus, teach us to raise the dead. Jesus, teach us. They didn't say that. They said, Jesus, teach us to pray. We've clocked it. We've got unto you. And Jesus said, all right, I'll teach you to pray. but hope that you're awake to catch it. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Reverence the king, number one. But then he gets to it, he says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's where we're going to camp for today. Jesus was making strong emphasis that prayer starts with adoring who our Father is, number one, recognizing he's a great king. His kingdom is not of this earth. He's greater, he's superior. But then it's all about his will. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Okay, so what does that mean? So that means that God is situated in a kingdom that is not of this earth, but his kingdom wants to influence this earth. His kingdom wants to influence this earth, and now we set up the program as you intended to do it from Genesis, and now he wants to influence the earth through you. And he's saying, okay, so last time when I came, I was in a body and I was Jesus, but now I'm in the body and the body is you. You see, that's why Jesus sent Christ into you. Jesus sent Christ into you. Remember, Christ was in Jesus, but now Christ is in you. That's why you're called the body of Christ. So that means Jesus now wants to heal through you. Jesus wants to raise the dead through you. You see, the key thing is to learn from Jesus is the fact that Jesus said, I don't do apart from what I see my Father do. That's why Jesus had it unlocked. That's the major difference. You see what God is looking for? God is looking for maturity. The mature person is not the one who comes to God like the ATM machine or the cash machine. The mature person is the one who says, God, what are you doing? God, what are you doing? God, what are you doing in this circumstance here? How are you moving? That means that when Jesus saw someone who was sick, he said, Father, what are we doing? Healing. Okay, be healed. When he saw someone demon-possessed, he said, Jesus, Father, what are we doing? Oh, we're casting it out. Okay, be gone. He was seeking the Lord's faith. Why was Jesus praying like that? He said sometimes he's praying all night. Let me tell you this yet. No one ain't praying all night unless there's a reason to be praying all night. Have you tried praying all night? It's not nice. There's a reason why he was praying all night. And you know what? You know that scripture about what goes on in a secret place when you're doing it, God will bring it out in open, etc. I can't remember exactly the word for word, but you holy ones know what I'm talking about. Yeah? Well, the key thing is that we actually got to see through the Gospels the outworking of what was happening in the secret place with Jesus. That's what was happening through the night. That's what he was hearing through the night. That's what he was seeing through the night. How many of your lives are expressions of prayer? Sometimes we live a life where we actually don't even know what God's will is. We don't really know. We're just doing things. And then we have the tragic situation of praying, Lord, bless this thing. I don't even know if this is you, but I think it's good. Please bless it. That's the order in the wrong way. Too many people get the order backwards. I'm going to do my will because I think it looks good. And also as well, I think I can tag Christ on it. This looks like something that I could say, yeah, God is in this. But then I tag Christ on it and then I'm going to pray for the blessings. Now I'm up all night praying. Lord, we need a blessing. I'm going to add fasting with this one. Shandara satakayara mose. Come on. We need breakthrough. Sweating. Jesus. Praying that God will bless this thing. But the key is when you go to the closet and you seek God's face and he speaks concerning a thing, you ain't got to pray for him to bless it because it's already blessed. We supposed to be walking out and living out what's already blessed. You see, the thing is, God has thoughts concerning you. He has ideas concerning you. He's already saw your future. He saw your now. He saw your tomorrow. He saw it all. But sometimes we don't spend enough time checking for it. Really checking for it. You see, the key thing is, in order to really check for God and get God's heart, is there has to be the death of self. Self is one of those things that when it exists, the mind of God is not fully commuted right. We don't fully get it. We struggle with understanding what he's saying because there's too much self wrestling on the inside of our emotions, wrestling on the inside of our thoughts, because God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. So when we come with too much of us, we just can't get him because he's the opposite of us. So we just reject his philosophy. We reject his answers for the season. We need to spend more time with Jesus. We need to spend more time studying his word. We need to spend more time in prayer. We need to spend more time really studying his word when it comes to coming to prayer in the first place. This is what he says in Proverbs 23, verse 7. For as he thinks in his heart, so he is. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. Basically what the scripture is saying, what a man thinks in his heart is what he truly is. What he says, he can say anything. Like me and my friends used to say, Malt can say anything. We don't trust what people say. Your actions are going to show me what you truly think. You might speak with your mouth, but I'm not even banking that. I don't even care. I just dismiss what you said. Let me see it. When I see it, then I'm going to see you. Your words mean nothing. You see, the key thing is it's talking about as he thinks in his heart, that's who you truly are. This is where the whole thing about renewing your mind comes. The reason being is because God's mindset is a big mindset. And if you want to be great, if you want to be all that God's called you to be, you have to start stretching your mind. There has to be a process of stretching your mind. Your mind, when you bring it to God in its initial state, is small time. Small time, it can't see big things. When I read the Bible, I always see great events from God. He does great things. He does marvelous things. He does things that are out of the normal. And that's what he wants to do in your life. He wants to do things that are out of the normal. And we have to spend time with God's word. We have to spend time in prayer, really seeking his heart, to find out what it is that he wants to do in our lives. Whilst I was preparing this, I was thinking about the story of the kid with the whole golf course thing. But I flipped it up a little bit. So there was a kid who, he liked playing golf in. And he basically got invited to go and see a king. And when he goes to see the king, he spends the day with him. And at the end of the day, the king says to him, look, listen, I've got some golf clubs for you. I'm going to arrange for you to have access to them. He says, look, what you can do is when you get them, you can just clean them up. And they may be some good for you in the future, or maybe for your future games. When he returns back home, he gets really caught up in a golfing league. And he's at a league and he's golfing, he's doing his thing, and he gets a little bit of payment for it. And he gets a letter from the king saying, look, you need to come and collect this golf club, the golf clubs. And, you know, he dismisses it because, you know, he's got a lot of needs. He's got a lot of stuff going on, and his golfing career is doing pretty well. And years pass, and basically the king is dying. You know, he's an old guy. It's time for him to say bye. And the boy goes to see him when he's a man now. He goes to see the king. And the king says to him, first thing is, why did you never pick up the golf clubs? And he said, well, you know, my career was really moving. He was just really honest with him. And, you know, I needed the money. I had several debts. And the king said, debts? He said, well, I'm sure that you could have just sold one of these golf clubs with all this acres of land and cleared all your debt. And then you would have had at least five, because I got like 15 in like five different countries. And in that moment, he recognized that the clubs that he was talking about wasn't the driving clubs, but it was a whole golf club that the king was trying to give him. In that moment, he recognized that his mindset was so small that he couldn't see beyond what was before his face. He couldn't see beyond what it was that he had always received and experienced. And sometimes God is speaking to us and he's trying to tell us better things. He's trying to give us greater things. But because of our attitudes, because of our mindsets, because of the way that we've carried on in life so far, he can't communicate it to us. You see, once you know what God's word is saying concerning your life, you can have a confident prayer life and you can confidently walk in the things of God. I'm going to be closing soon if the worship team want to come up. Romans 12 verse 1 to 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But check this out. That you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This scripture is basically saying what we talked about today. If you surrender your will, if you surrender your whole will as a living sacrifice, you surrender your body, you surrender everything that you have as a living sacrifice, and that everything that you've known to be true, you will allow that to fall to the ground and renew your mind, then God will show and prove what is good and acceptable and perfect, which is his will. In other words, God will do such a thing to your life that he will prove to everybody looking around you that this life has been touched by God. God wants to do such a thing in your life. God wants to take you to a whole new place. The stuff that God wants to do, you probably not even lick the crisp. You've not even reached out for the packet yet. You're just like at the shop window, just peering. But I believe that in 2017, if you will come to a place where you say, you know what, I'm tired of doing me. I'm tired of doing me. I'm tired of fighting with certain mindsets, fighting with certain attitudes, fighting with certain areas of my life, wrestling with these things. I've decided to get over it. You see, the thing is with self, sometimes you got to get a little bit aggressive with self. You got to get aggressive with self and you got to say, you know what? I'm not allowing you to put me down no more. I'm not allowing you to be the thing that controls me. You're not controlling my thinking. You're not controlling my emotions. Because if you control my emotions and control my thinking, then you control my destiny. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get over myself. You see, yourself is the worst enemy. The self attacks you more than Satan does. Satan's only in one place at once. You ain't that popular. He ain't round your house every week. It's yourself that you're wrestling with. But the self is there to hold you back from all that God has. But I prophesy that you will see great things in 2017. great things. Every single person in this room will see great things in 2017 in the name of Jesus. But now, prophecy is one of those things that when you receive it, you got a number one, pray it in. You got a number two, when everything rages against it, you got to keep your confession in line with it. And number three, you got to be able to stand through the seasons that test it. So I just want to ask everyone to stand right now. Just as the worship team begin to worship, I just ask, look, if you've been touched by the word today, just find a place at the altar. And I just believe that this is one of them ones where you say, you know what? Lord, I want to surrender my will. I feel like my will has been too involved in our relationship. Whether it's just been a barrier to me stepping into what you've got for me. If there's been too much self, I surrender it. I want to surrender it now. I want to lay it down. I don't want to live with those limitations anymore. The limitations are me. If you're a person who says, you know what, my prayer life has not really been on point, or my motives in prayer have not really been in line with scripture, then this is a time to repent and say, you know what, Lord, I'm sorry, man. I am sorry. I want to get it in line. I remember once again what this is all about. This is about you. It's not about me. I want to just come before you and lay it down. Lord, show me. Show me which way to go. Show me which way to change this thing. Show me which way to change that thing. Show me which way to put things in place so that I am positioned once again. And if that's you, I just want to ask you right now just to come forward as the worship team worshiping. Come and speak to God.
is the power yours, is the glory forever and ever yours, is the kingdom yours, is the power yours, is the glory forever and ever yours, is the kingdom yours, is the power yours, is the glory forever and ever yours, is the kingdom yours, is the power. Revival.
Thank you, Lord. Father, I just pray, Lord God, in closing of this service right now, Lord, I just pray that a revelation of your word, Lord God, that it's done something to hearts today, Lord. That there's been a stirring. Yes, we've cracked a few jokes, but Lord, I pray that the seriousness, Lord, of praying in line with your will, I pray that that's been driven home in every heart, Lord. And I pray that you would stir a fresh hunger in every heart, Lord God, to really seek you for why you created us, not for our ulterior motives, Lord God, not for our wants, but that we would seek for your wants and your will. Father, I pray that over the next few weeks, Lord God, that you would speak to the men and women in this room, Lord God, and start to release revelation, Lord. Start to release specific words, Lord. Start to release prophetic words into their lives, Lord God. Anchors, things that they can hold on to, that they can pray into to bring to pass, Lord God, that you will begin to break, Lord, chains, things that have been there for years, Lord God, that have stood in the way, Lord God, that you would pull down, break and destroy, Lord God, those things that are limitations of the mind, those things that are limitations of the heart, Lord God, that you would remove them, Lord, by the power of your hand, oh God. Father, we thank you because your word is able and you have spoken here today, Lord. To you be the glory and praise. In Jesus' precious name, we thank you, Lord God. Amen. Praise God, guys. It's the end of the gang service. It's like people are still in prayer, so I want to let people still connect with God and dismiss. But feel free to leave when you're ready.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon.